Hi, everyone, and welcome to our latest New York Now podcast. I'm Matt Ryan, and I'm joined by my friends and colleagues, Casey Seiler and Karen DeWitt. Thursday night in the Capital Region on the PBS station WMHT, we were all part of the 19th Congressional District debate between Republican John Faso and Democrat Zephyr Teachout. This is one of the tightest races in the country, and there are a lot of eyes looking upon the 19th District, not only in New York, but in Washington as well. We have some clips that we want to play for you, but before we do that, I want to get some reactions from the both of you. Casey, why don't you start us off?
It didn't seem like there was any kind of knockout blow. You know, for some reason, we were just talking that at the WMHT debates, I don't think we've ever had like a real, you know, food fight. There's something, and
I knew that's John F. Kennedy.
Yeah,
That's to our credit, though, I have to say.
Right, it's like, I don't know if it's just because this is a PBS station, it's a very, you know, beautiful, cool studio and all that, but it's almost like people don't want to spray paint on the walls of Downton Abbey or something like that. But, you know, it was a substantive debate. I took part in an earlier debate between Faso and Teachout at WAMC. That was also a very substantive, serious debate. Now, the charges that you hear tossed back and forth, of course, is that Teachout is a newbie, a carpetbagger who doesn't understand the district and doesn't understand how government works. And Teachout says that Faso is a bought and paid for lobbyist, a career politician. He's part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Okay, but that said, I felt like we were like in a different world, like some kind of parallel universe. Because yes, they did take shots, but it was a mostly substantive debate.
Yeah, it was.
They talked about Medicaid. Zephyr Teachout went through very detailed about farm policy. She really seemed to know, like, you know, the issues facing dairy farmers. And we just haven't heard a lot of substance in the presidential debate in weeks. So it was almost like, oh, yeah, this is what you're supposed to talk about in a debate. I forgot.
The infrastructure approval process, you know, I mean, from John Faso, who was, when asked about infrastructure, said, God, it would be better if we could speed up the approval process for these projects.
Yeah.
And seeker review. Never heard seeker review mentioned in any of the presidential
They're both very knowledgeable.
And these are two smart candidates, there's no question.
They've done their homework, they know their stuff. It's true, Faso's been in the district a lot longer, but you could see that Zephyr Teachout had really talked to a lot of people in the district and seemed to know what the issues were, and also living in rural Vermont is—it's not all that different than rural upstate
Although
New York.
Although the word Vermont was never mentioned.
Yes,
in the debate.
I thought that was interesting.
Waiting for it.
She said she grew up in a dairy farm.
Well, I think she was really concerned about that. She did not hit back at all. But he must have said the word Brooklyn three or four times. The fact that he lived in the district for 33 years—I mean, he really hammered on that, and there was no pushback from Zephyr Teachout.
Did he mention? I'm not even sure. Did he mention Professor Teachout? Because that's used, and it seems
the commercial.
Like
no,
he didn't
no,
do that.
This was more
Brooklyn, as though
that
there's something
It's clearly
wrong with
being
that.
Used to make her sound like a pointy-headed, you know, academic, which she doesn't at all really come out as in person. She has a very peppy, you know, affect about her that you do not think of as being very tweety.
All right, let's go to our first clip here. It's a question John Faso surely must have anticipated. He was asked about his support for the GOP candidate, Donald Trump.
I said last year when I started to run, when there were 17 GOP candidates and I didn't choose a candidate to support during that primary process, that I would support the nominee of my party. That is still the case. I could not support Mrs. Clinton, obviously, because I have significant policy differences with Mrs. Clinton. I am closer to Mr. Trump on economics and growing the economy. He's put forth a list of Supreme Court nominees, one of whom I actually know, an appellate judge from Iowa, who are distinguished and would be good nominees to the Supreme Court. I am troubled by many of the things that I've heard. The statements that were made on that 11-year-old tape are reprehensible. They're horrible. And I, as a father and a husband, am extremely disconcerted by those statements. They're outrageous. But the fact is that the voters are intelligent enough to decide the race for president. And they're going to decide the race for Congress in the 19th district.
All right, Faso went with the argument, essentially, yes, Donald Trump has said some awful things, but I'm still going to stick with my party's choice.
Yeah, it's having it both ways. And, you know, I felt maybe we should have challenged him more on that, but I don't know how much more we can get out of him. People can judge that for themselves. It's kind of like he's trying to please the Trump people, but not offend the people who hate Trump, which is where all the Republican candidates, you know, down ballot are in right now, because there's a lot of Trump supporters in the district. So if he disavowed himself from Trump, that he would lose so many votes.
We just had this conversation on the Reporters Roundtable, which you can watch this weekend on PBS, Casey, but we had Jimmy Vielkind in, and he kind of laid that out pretty well, is that you're not going to gain any supporters, but you could possibly lose a lot.
Right. Yeah, and what John Faso has said is that I don't yet know who I'm going to vote for, which is, that's what he says. We can't look into his heart. We don't know if that is in fact the truth, but it does kind of press the question of we've all been following this race as a nation for, what, 16 months? Forever? Since I was in college,
yeah,
it seems
I know.
Like. And it kind of makes you wonder, you haven't yet seen enough or heard enough to make up your mind, but that's what the man says.
And I was very surprised. Zephyr Teachout really didn't even talk about that until her closing statement, when she mentioned that the fact my opponent doesn't even know who he's going to vote for.
She also said that she had sympathy for Republicans in that position, which I thought was, I don't know,
That's either nice or patronizing. I'm not sure.
But I think Faso spent the rest of the debate showing that he was essentially nothing like Donald Trump,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and that he is his own person, and he has a lot of substantive
ideas. He deflected it back,
ideas.
Too.
And, you know, if people watch the whole debate, I think that they would see that, and he had detached himself. But, you know, as much as we know people, you know, are watching our debate, not everybody is, and people will go into the ballot, and if they're really, you know, feeling upset about the stuff that's going on with Trump and the sexual harassment, if that continues, they may not vote for John Faso for that reason, or any other, you know, Republicans in his position.
And we should note that Zephyr Teachout has considerable daylight between herself and her ideological stances and Hillary Clinton. Mm. She endorsed in December of last year Bernie Sanders, let's mention Vermont once again.
That's right.
And just before that, I think in November of 2015, both of these on Huffington Post, put up an essay saying that Hillary Clinton has four corruption problems.
Yeah.
And that was all of them related to accepting big money donations or big money fees.
Wall
for
Street
either
speeches.
Clinton or her campaign,
yeah,
or
the Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm.
And Zephyr Teachout basically said, yeah, that's right. And I think what it indicates, Zephyr Teachout has announced that she is supporting Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders, of course, has fully endorsed Hillary Clinton. And she said, look, it just shows that I can stand up to the political elites.
And Bernie Sanders held a rally for Zephyr Teachout.
Not long ago, yeah.
New Paltz, Poughkeepsie?
New Paltz.
Our second clip here was a question about what to do with the high property taxes we face here in the Empire State. Zephyr Teachout said she supported a circuit breaker, something we've heard before, mostly from the State Assembly here in Albany. We'll hear her first, and then John Faso really rips into what he says is a lack of knowledge from Zephyr Teachout about this.
New York State said to local governments, look, it's on you. And so local governments took on a greater and greater share of paying for health, paying for education, paying for transportation. And if we want to really take on this real property tax crisis, and it is a crisis, we got to get to the root issue of what's happening between the state and the big companies.
45 seconds for Mr. Faso.
Well, I would just say that Ms. Teachout simply doesn't know what she's talking about. The property tax cap in Massachusetts, which went into effect in 1980, Prop 2.5, has been a real money saver for property taxpayers there. That is the model for what New York State did. And the reason property taxes go up so high is often state mandates. It's often out of control local spending, et cetera. And the property tax cap in New York State, which was adopted on a bipartisan basis, something that I had advocated for much earlier, with also mandate relief, has saved $4.5 billion for taxpayers.
Faso really hitting Teachout with the outsider line here. She's from Brooklyn. What does she know about property taxes?
I think it's hard to explain a circuit breaker. In this way, the GOP has the upper hand. If it's a simpler idea is having a tax cap, people can understand that. When you get into circuit breaker, people are kind of lost. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a harder thing to explain to people why that would be better.
Yeah, this is not a good issue. It's a loser issue for Zephyr Teachout. She can't back off of her opposition. Labor groups, especially the teachers' unions, hate the tax cap because it really constrains school budgets and what localities can spend on education. So she's really kind of in a box on that, and it's definitely an advantage for John Faso.
All right, our third clip. Teachout hits Mr. Faso for lobbying for big money interests, and that prompts the Republican to borrow a line from one Ronald Wilson Reagan.
When I'm in Congress, I'm going to be a voice for the people who have lost those middle class jobs or looking for those middle class jobs. And I just got to say that, you know, that my opponent had made a choice himself after being in the Assembly to be a lobbyist really for the other guys, for the big money. For the big money interests. And I've always been a voice for the people who've been shut out.
Mr. Faso, 45 seconds.
Well, there she goes again with another an attack which has no basis. The last client that I actually represented before the state legislature the primary client in the last 5 years was Autism Speaks. And I had the primary role in writing a state law which enhanced health insurance coverage for children with autism. Ms. Teachout, again, she doesn't tell you the truth. And again, if you can't trust a candidate to tell you the truth about these small things, how can you trust them to tell you the truth about the large things?
There she goes again. John Faso pointing out that the last client he lobbied for was Autism Speaks.
Autism Speaks.
A pretty effective comeback to that charge.
It is, but I mean, you know, when you've got one client who is of course, above reproach, it doesn't exactly invalidate the fact that He has worked for, you know, companies. An amateur video in the district came up of him speaking before a community group, really kind of taking heat over his paid representation of a company that wanted to set up a natural gas pipeline, you know, running basically all through the southern tier. So Autism Speaks is certainly a good defense.
But there's more to it.
Yeah.
And then she took money from George Soros, the liberal billionaire. So you know, everybody, money is involved in politics, whatever side you're on. Though I think that line, there he goes again, there she goes again, it could probably be retired at this point, I think. I think it may have run its course.
Yeah, I think Mike Pence used that in the vice presidential debate.
It's too much of a cliche now.
All right, finally now, let's hear the candidates' closing statements.
John Faso and I are really different on protecting Social Security. I think we have to protect it and expand it. He has written an op-ed in the New York Times saying we should privatize it. We are really different on protecting our water. He told you, we talked about GE earlier. He wrote letters to the EPA saying that GE should not have to fund the full cleanup. I am going to fight to protect our water and make sure that the big polluters pay. But the most fundamental difference is I'm always going to tell you where I stand, and I'm independent. He won't even trust the voters enough to tell them who he's going to vote for on November 8th. I'm going to be responsible to you, answer only to you, and continue to be an independent fighter when I'm in Congress. Thank you.
Now with the final closing statement, 1 minute for Mr. Faso.
Good evening, and thank you again, all of the viewers out there and the people here in the audience tonight, for coming. I appreciate the opportunity to present my credentials to you. I'm running for Congress because our nation is in crisis. We've got to fix this economy. We've got to change the direction of the country. We are perilously about to go over the cliff financially unless we do that. We have to also rebuild our defenses, because it's vitally important that America remains strong. It is vitally important that we have a future for our children and our grandchildren. That's why I'm running. I'm from here. I've lived and worked here for 33 years. My opponent has never even voted in a general election in this district. She just moved here. She only bought a house in this district this year. So I stand for free enterprise. I stand for limited government. I stand for personal responsibility. I stand for the Constitution. I stand for the rule of law. I stand for individual responsibility and equal opportunity for all Americans. That is my platform, that is what I'll run on, and that's how I'll serve.
One thing we haven't talked about is John Faso really seemed to hammer Zephyr Teachout, yes, calling her an outsider and all that, but wasn't it interesting how many times he brought up the boat ad?
Her ads, they're really good ads.
They're out of the box.
They're really out of the box. This is one where she's, you know, where she's going down the Hudson.
Motoring down the Hudson.
And I think they must have had a drone or something kind of floating overhead getting it. It's a really beautiful shot. But he's clearly trying to turn her advantage into a disadvantage. You have to remember, she's done community theater. She is probably the only congressional candidate in New York who has appeared in a Samuel
That's
Beckett.
Right. I forgot about that.
And I'm glad that you're explaining the boat ad, because I'm your typical PBS watcher. I don't watch a lot of commercial TV. A lot of the ads I will see because they're sent to me as a reporter, but I had not really seen that boat ad. And when he was talking about that, frankly, I didn't really know what he was talking about. And I would imagine a lot of people watching our debate might not have either, so I'm not sure how well that worked for him.
No mention of the mushroom cloud either.
No, the kind of the New York 19 Daisy ad, I guess
right,
you could compare it to, where I believe that's a PAC that's supporting FASO, says that that Zephyr Teachout is supporting the kind of by secondhand or supporting the Iran deal, the deal with Iran to reduce their nuclear weapons program, and it did use a mushroom cloud. It was just a bit over the top. Said she wants to, and she's like, I don't want to blow up the world.
Yeah, but
just glad, a, good to
but
hear.
But once again, to their credit in this debate, they really wanted to present themselves as people who knew about the issues and had talked to people in the district and wanted to represent them.
I thought it was, we've been doing these, it was the 20th district before, but this district's debate for a number of years now. Actually, I thought it was the best one, considering both candidates, I thought, were pretty effective.
Well, in the past, we had Chris Gibson, and the other debate that we do is the Paul Tonko seat. We've had strong incumbents, and you often see a weak challenger. So it's really
cans,
pretty.
As they're known in the fight game.
Yeah, it's pretty lopsided. So this one, because it's an open seat, you had two really good candidates.
And this is a tight one.
It was very refreshing.
42-41. I guess so. Wrapping up here, we'll wait to see what the next poll says. We anticipate that probably the last week of October from Siena College. They usually do too. And I guess we'll see if there is a Trump effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, but that will wrap it up for today. Along with Casey Seiler and Karen DeWitt, I'm Matt Ryan. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you further on up the road.